clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And yet they'll come in the back door and in the windows and sneak in your mind and tell you that there is no God, or God is sick, or God is ailing, or God is dead. You've heard all of those stories. When did he die? Somewhere in the 50s, wasn't it? God is dead. Even his eternal power in God, so that they are without excuse. God says they're without excuse. So I'm not going to make up an excuse for them. Amen. You know? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their reasonings, in their imaginations, the Bible says. And their foolish heart was darkened. See that imaginations, you look up that word number 1261, and it means reasonings, imaginations, reasonings. Lots of reasonings. And God is reasonable. God says, come, let us reason together. Your problem is sin.
Yeah.
And though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. But you got to come reason with me, not with the philosophers of the world, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools.
Amen.
And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You know what God did? God saw all that and he said, okay. Then it says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. He just wiped his hands of the whole mess. Gave them, okay, you want it? Take it. Go. You will soon reap the results. To uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. They're called lesbians. And likewise also the men, homosexuals, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. You've heard of herpes, and you've heard of AIDS, and oh, how they're trying to deny that there's any association with it. Yet all the facts demand that there's an association. And even as they did not like, here is the root of the problem, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Don't give God glory. Don't give God credit. Look what science has accomplished. Look what modern technology has done. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. And if you turned over to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, you'd see where it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Just think, this description of a world without God, of a society that has rejected the Lord, just think, that could all be changed in one moment's time.
Hallelujah.
If they would repent and turn to God.
Yeah.
Just think, this proud man, boaster, inventor of evil things, this disobedient to parents, people, these without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, all that can be washed away by the powerful blood of Jesus. Just like that. And they could be new creatures in Christ if they would only bow down before him and acknowledge him. God says there is none righteous. Where is that? Romans 3, Look at it. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. That's what I say. That's what I say. Man gets no credit. Not from me, nor from God.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
God first, of course. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. You don't credit the unprofitable. You credit that which is profitable. God gets all the credit. God hath concluded, woo, listen to this. God hath concluded all under sin. Every man, boy, woman, old, senior citizens, from the cradle to the grave, cradle roll up to adult class. God hath concluded all under sin. Why? That he might have mercy on all.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Then, if it's mercy, then who gets the credit? Only one.
Amen.
Only God. He showed mercy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. Oh, don't you feel good today? Praise the Lord. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I'll tell you, I could run these aisles. I could leap. I could jump, dance, do somersaults if I didn't break my neck, you know. But just manifesting my joy and thankfulness for the Word of God. A lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway. A bright light in a dark, dark world where people are crashing into one another, crashing into trouble everywhere. They have no direction. They don't know where they're going, what they're doing, where they came. Why? They even say they don't know where they came from, and they're still studying billions and billions of years ago, trying to figure out where we came from. And they don't know who they are. We've had some of you here today that have had trouble with your own identity. You know, who am I, Dad? They don't know where they're going. Don't know where they came from. They don't know who they are. They don't know where they're going. And we know all three.
Amen.
We know where we came from. In the beginning, God.
Hallelujah.
We know where we came from. And we know who we are. I'm John Tambry. How do you do? Who are you? Praise the Lord. You know, we know who we are. We are the sons of God.
Amen.
We are the children of God. We know who we are. And we know where we're going because we have a hope. We have a hope beyond this life. Praise the Lord. We have the answers. The answers came to us through this book. Praise the Lord. The lamp unto our feet, the light unto our path. The way of peace they have not known. Now how can they know it when the Bible says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. They're like that mire that agitated ocean stirs up. From the bottom, and it's muddy and cloudy and dark. No peace, the Bible says, to the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Oh, I'm glad that I have the fear of God today. Praise the Lord. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ upon all, or unto all, and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare not our righteousness, but to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Listen to it again. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness. Oh, we're so prone to go about declaring our own righteousness. And this world will tell you, if you say, are you a Christian? They'll say, well, yeah, I'm good to my neighbor, and I go to church every Sunday, and I fast twice a week, give tithes of all I possess, and so on. But he says here, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Who can boast of anything good when God just told us there is none that doeth good, there is none righteous, no, not one? They're altogether gone astray. Everybody, he said. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. Didn't the Apostle Paul have a mighty revelation of the righteousness of God and the self-righteousness of man? Oh, he should have, after all. He was so very guilty of it, and he even boasted or referred to how he could boast of his birth and flesh if he wanted to. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews, I'm an Israelite, and so on. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. It is totally excluded. And that's where we stand today. We boast in Jesus Christ, our salvation. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and pray. The new legislation was passed requiring all kindergartens, public and non-public, to operate subject to the approval of the state. This is West Virginia. The state then established the criteria for what it considered to be an adequate school. In the definition sections, the state said that the public and non-public rationale for kindergartens included goals which are consistent with county and state educational policies, standards, goals, and regulations. The list went on to include the required programs of study, learning outcomes, and administrative practices. Under administrative practices, the state gave a time allocation specifying how the children's time would be spent while in the program. Instructional practices and personnel qualifications were also spelled out by the state. It was specified that kindergarten teachers would be required to hold a current state certificate. The final requirements spelled out by the state involved the facilities and equipment available for the program. The state said that equipment and materials adequate to accommodate a comprehensive kindergarten program would have to be available. Churches have contacted CLA, that's the Christian Law Association, indicating concern over the imposition of the kindergarten law on their ministries. From beginning to end, the state requirements tread on areas reserved to church discretion. The state demands that ministries include goals which are consistent with state policy standards and goals. In many instances, however, church policy standards and goals are extremely different than those of the state. The state demands that the ministry allocate time in a fashion devised by the state, despite the fact that the church ministry may wish to spend significant portions of time on activities such as scripture memorization and character training, for which the state has left no time. Is that the truth? No time for the scripture, no time for character. Since the kindergarten staff is church staff, and is subject to church staff requirements, the requirements will differ from those of the state. Salvation is the first requirement for all church staff members. Nowhere does the state consider this to be a part of its requirements, because its programs and plans are quite different from those of the church. Wouldn't that be nice if you couldn't teach in a public school today unless you were a born-again Christian? Would that be nice? For some time, churches in West Virginia were fearful that the state would try to do through the kindergartens what it has been unable to do through the day schools, regulate church ministries. It appears that every church that chose to include five-year-olds would be forced to place that ministry under the control of the state. In recent weeks, pastors have been working with the Department of Education, asking that churches be exempted from this objectionable relationship with the state. Dr. Phil Suter of the West Virginians for Religious Freedom told CLA that preliminary indications from the state are that it will attempt to avoid a conflict with the churches by exempting kindergartens that are church ministries. So the battle goes on. Another one, seminars enlighten pastors on church-state issues. Another one, Ohio says pastors may not practice faith. Reverend Levi Wisner was called before the Industrial Commission in a hearing to discover why the pastor would not participate in the state-mandated workers' compensation program. The highest officials of the commission questioned the pastor's unwillingness to bow to state demands. Pastor Wisner, and he's been a leader in the battle, and he has suffered persecution. Pastor Wisner, he has got a mind. Pastor Wisner, quite, in fact, he's the one that taught ACE and CLA a lot of things by his approach. Pastor Wisner quietly explained to the officials that his faith would not permit him to surrender the decision-making authority of his church to the state. Isn't that something? He quietly explained to the officials that his faith would not permit him to surrender the decision-making authority of his church to the state. In other words, I'll go to jail. Our whole church will go to jail. Now, the whole church wouldn't go to jail. They're in the wrong church, aren't they?
Right. Right.
Sure. We should all be willing to do that.
Amen.
The officials quickly reminded the country, I don't mean now that we should aggravate. You know.
Right.
We should be like Daniels and Shadrachs, Meshachs, and Abednegos.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we?
Right. Yeah.
We should be like those men of God who stand uncompromisingly, who stand firmly on their own, on their convictions and on the Word of God, and yet they pray and live such clean, holy lives that God honored them and blessed them, and they became leaders in the kingdom. And that's what we're seeing now in America, is a rise of Christian leadership in places of high position. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, look at that. We used to, you know, we used to hear it, oh, Christians shouldn't be in politics. Oh, only Christians should be in politics. Only Christians should be running a Christian nation.
Amen.
We're called a Christian nation. We're known as a Christian nation around the world. So we're compared with Hinduism and other religions, because America's a Christian nation. When they see us cheating and lying and so mercenary and aggressive in certain things, you know, I mean, our business people abroad and so on. Oh, man.
Amen.
And that's their understanding of Christianity. How do you judge something? By the works of the people that claim that. If 25 Norwegians stood up here and they were all 6 foot six, you'd get the idea Norwegians were tall people. Yeah? Until you saw me. And if 25 Germans were standing there and they were all blonde-haired and blue-eyed, you'd say Germans are blonde-haired and blue-eyed people. You know? And if 25 Jews stood here and they were all olive-skinned or dark-skinned and had prominent features on their faces, you'd say, that's a Jew, you know, and so on. That's what the Jew looks like. And when you see people cheat and lie and steal and then they say they're Christians, and you say, well, that's what Christians are like, right? Sure you do. That's how you judge. That's how you judge. The officials quickly reminded the country preacher that the majority of the churches in the state has no difficulty in participating in the program, and that the church should promptly pay up. When Brother Wisner reiterated his inability to go along with state demands, the men told the pastor that the law of Ohio required participation, and if he wished to stay in the state, he would have to comply. The chairman of the commission then told the pastor that he had the absolute right of religious belief in America, but not the absolute freedom to practice those beliefs. Pastor Wisner immediately responded, "That freedom does me no good. I must practice my faith." The chairman of the Industrial Commission then told Pastor Wisner that unless the church paid or the law was changed, the Industrial Commission would cause the church's property to be sold to collect monies for the workers' compensation program. After the hearing, the Industrial Commission ruled against the church. CLA is working with Pastor Wisner to decide what action should be taken to appeal the commission's action. That state has had more trouble with that man, I think, than any state has had with any man. That Wisner is a whiz. He's something else. 100 churches in Ohio have gone on record with the state as opposing forced involvement in workers' compensation. They believe that the care of God's money has been entrusted to the church under the lordship of Christ and should not be dispersed at the determination of the state. Supreme Court of Kansas rules against church. There's another one. We'll skip that one right now. But some of you, how many of you get the briefcase? One, oh, quite a few of you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. Well, anyway, God bless the Christian Law Association.
Yes.
And God bless the Accelerated Christian Education movement. And all the other Christian educators. Praise the Lord. Got away from us years ago. Hebrews chapter 6 again. Oh, I love the Word of God. Thank God for His Word. We were down to verse 10 last week. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which He has showed toward His name, in that He have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we read things last week and discussed things and referred to things in the scripture last week with reference to this verse. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which He has showed toward His name. And we decided that if we're going to show work and labor of love toward His name, we do it by ministering to the saints and continuing to minister to the saints. We have that verse right on the back wall here. Okay, so the point here is, I believe at least, that the kindnesses that we do to the people of God are reckoned by God as done to Himself. Amen. And we'll surely be rewarded for that, because God is not unrighteous and He won't forget. Isn't that fantastic? He forgets our sins and iniquities, but He doesn't forget our good things, our good works, our good deeds. Isn't that wonderful? Boy, don't you wish it, we were all like that? That's the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to overlook a person's fault and see their need. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. We need to do that with one another, brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
If you're under the blood of Christ, to me, you're perfect. And if I'm under the blood of Christ, to you, I'm perfect. And in God's eyes, we're all perfect.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay? So Jesus said, insomuch as ye have done these things unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So He does reckon those things that are done to His brethren, that's the Christian people, as done unto Himself. And we talked about Paul last week when Jesus appeared to him outside Damascus and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus," but that's not all He said. "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." Paul was not persecuting Jesus. He was persecuting the church. So Jesus identifies Himself with the church and says, "When you persecute the church, Paul, you are persecuting me." And so when people laugh at us and call us tongue talkers, holy rollers, Jesus freaks and so on, they're really talking against Him. "He that receiveth you," He said, "receiveth me. And he that rejecteth you, rejecteth me." And so here we have it. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Praise the Lord. Just like Brother Nichols taught this morning in the chain of command class, that he ran a race, a mile race, and he won, and he got a picture of his face in the paper, and he looked at the face and he said, "Face? You didn't run this race. Feet ran this face. Why don't they put a picture of my feet in the newspaper? Because it was my feet that ran the race. Why don't my feet get the credit?" You know, and so on. Well, that's what Jesus said. When you touch any part of that body, you're touching Him. You're touching Him. Praise the Lord. Verse 11, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." So sometimes we think, I remember, let's see, it was back in 1932, I did a favor to a man. I qualified. I'm a great guy. So God's not going to forget my work and labor of love. Whoa, let's go on. "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." Jesus went about, Acts 10:38 says, doing good. healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil and so on. Jesus went about doing good throughout his whole lifetime, throughout his whole ministry. And that's what he's asking us to do. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6 says, "But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." There's something about being faithful in anything from the beginning to the end. Not just starting and taking a few leaps like a rabbit, but plodding on and on and on and on. Verse 14 in Hebrews chapter 3, "For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." It's wonderful to be able to have a historical time and date back in history somewhere where you had an experience with God. That's wonderful. But we need, he's a God of the now. We need to have fresh experiences with God every day. Praise the Lord. Maybe we could even say salvation experiences with God every day. I don't mean being saved over and over again every day, but I mean this... this confidence every day, this assurance of salvation every day. We sing, "Blessed assurance, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long," every day, every week, every month, every year, from beginning to the end. It's not something that we set aside, it's not something that we forget, it's not something that we write down in the book and then trample on. No, it's something that we experience every day. We're justified freely by His grace. We get up in the morning with a bounce in our step. We get up in the morning with a smile on our face. Praise the Lord. Even if your eyes do close when you smile. Because they're puffed up from the night's sleep. You know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you will. Someday. There's just something about it. Now, Jesus said, "He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved." He doesn't say, "He that has a time and date in history." It says, "He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved." That's all we have to do is endure. Just hang on. Hang on a little longer. I'm slipping. I'm falling. Hang on. Praise the Lord. I can't. Yes, you can. God says you can.
Praise the Lord.
He saw a man for so long had been at the pool of Bethesda waiting for the waters to be troubled by the angel so he could slide down into the waters and be healed of whatsoever disease he had. He was an impotent man, couldn't walk, lying there on a couch, bed. And this is one time that Jesus didn't say, "Bring him to me," or "I'll wait for you to come to me." He went over to him. He went over to him this time. And he said, would you like to walk again? You know, wilt thou be made whole? The man says, I have no man when the angel comes along and put me in the water so that I can be healed. Jesus said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." The man said, "I can't. I'm crippled, can't you see?" That's not what it says, does it? Not what it says. You see, when the Lord tells us to hang on, He gives us the strength to hang on. He doesn't ask us to do anything that we can't do. When He asks us to endure unto the end, He gives us the ability to endure unto the end. The Bible says that God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted above that we are able, but He will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that we shall be able to bear it. We can do it. That's what I'm saying. Rise, take up your bed and walk. Woo! Yeah! Woo! And away he went. God gave him the power to do it. And when He tells us to hang on and to endure and to cling, He gives us the power to do it. He does not ask us to do something that He will not empower us to do. "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." Revelation 2:10. Jesus spoke to the church at Smyrna and He said, "Be thou faithful unto the second trial." No. "Be thou faithful unto the third trial." No. "Be thou faithful for 9 days." No. He said, "Be thou faithful unto death. And then, and only then, will I give you a crown of life." Be thou faithful. In other words, from that historical date in your life when you received Christ and became a new creature, to the end. All the way to the end. That's the consensus of the whole scripture. Be careful for doctrines that allow you two wives, three wives, or a harem. Be Be careful of doctrines that allow you hanky-panky. Be careful of doctrines that allow fornication and adultery and stealing and cheating and lying and say that you're going to be saved anyway, because on a historical date or time, you once received Christ. Now, the Bible doesn't teach that.
Amen. Right.
The Bible doesn't teach that.
Amen.
Somebody said to me, well, once you're a son, you're always a son. You're a tander, you were born a tander, you can be nothing but a tander. Well, somebody close to me said that so I could talk like this. And I said, well, Uncle, were you born a child of God? He said, no, I'm born a child of the devil. I said, well, once a child, always a child. You know? So, we'd all be lost if it were not for God, if it were not for the love of God, the mercy of God, the new birth. Amen. The Bible teaches, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. In Revelation 2:26 to the church of Thyatira, he talks about those that keep his works unto the end. Oh, you know what we need to do? We need to read Revelation chapter 2 and 3 over and over. Chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 2, chapter 3. Everybody's reading chapter 11, wondering who the two witnesses are. They were reading chapter 12, wondering who that dragon is, and the sun, the moon, the stars, and wondering about that great wonder and who the woman is, the man-child, and so on. When really we ought to get down Revelation chapter 2 and 3 first. They did come first, didn't they?
Yeah.
We usually don't start reading in the middle of the book or the end of the book. We read the beginning of the book.
Yeah.
We need to read chapter 1 and get a real vision of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the Almighty, the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and Omega. Get that down in our systems and then read what this Almighty One described in chapter 1 has to say to us in chapters 2 and 3, because that is Jesus himself speaking to the seven churches. We need to read those things, understand what the Lord expects of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then he says, well done. And the final word is this, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, let me explain something. You mean I got to endure to the end? You mean I have to be faithful unto death? You mean I have to keep up my works to the end? I'm tired and I'm weary, but this is a living way. And you know the way I explain it. This is the way. The Bible says it's a new and a living way. I feel this way. I'm on the way. So every step I take, I get new life, because this is a living way.
Praise the Lord.
Woo! Coming up, feet up my toes, up my ankles, my calf, my thigh. Here it comes, through my hips. Woo! Hallelujah! It's a living way. That's what the Bible says. It's a new and living way. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. You know when we die? When we get off the living way. You know we're alive when we stay on the living way.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We come to that also in the book of Hebrews here. He talks about this new and living way. This is a new way. This isn't the old dusty trails and rocky roads. No, this is a new and a living way. Sure, there's trials along the way, but there's life in every step. Man, woman, brother and sister, take another step forward. Praise the Lord. There's new life waiting for you in the very next step. Praise God. Praise God. And keep going. Keep going to the end. You're not going to die before you get there. I mean, spiritually. You're going to live. God promises it. But we have to do what he says to do. Then we have his promise made good to us. Praise the Lord. So I say the final word is faithfulness. What is the final word? Faithfulness. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what Jesus said. That's the final end of it. That's the last word. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, how many people have you seen come? Touched. Moved. They go to the altar. They weep. They repent of their sins. They go to the baptismal tank. Receive the Holy Ghost. They come out of the tank, shaking hands with everybody, hugging everybody, full of God. And they are. Only to be tripped up by the enemy a short time later. Some of them don't even make it a year. You know, when you make it a year, with the help of all the bigger brothers and sisters and parents in the Lord, you're in pretty good shape, aren't you? After you got that first year under your belt. Babies usually walk around a year old, don't they? Some 9, 10 months. Some 14 months. Some start walking at 10 months and do a lot of falling down. Some start walking at 14 months and never fall down. But when you got a year behind you of growing, you're starting to walk a little. You still have to have a lot of help, of course, in certain areas, in eating and what to eat and so on. We like to prescribe all those things in the church. But the final word is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Faithful. Praise the Lord. Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap if we faint not. How many feel like going on? Oh, it's a good song. I feel like traveling on. I wouldn't take nothing from it. Poor English, but a good song. I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's the way I feel. That's the way you feel.
Yeah.
Amen. I can start the next verse. We better stand. I'll never get through. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.